The clouds are on fire.
This is Ward Nuxley, and welcome to the world famous Phil Henry Show. Yes, the Phil Henry Show. 50 years, Mr. Henry has labored in the broadcast and netcast field. And since 1990, Mr. Henry has done the Phil Henry Show. This specific, especially good Phil Henry Show, not the disc jockey show, what he did do before that. And me, Ward Nuxley, he picked me up out of the gutter and made me what I am today, Ward Nuxley. That was my name before, but now I'm especially Ward Nuxley.
You're Ward Nuxley, staff announcer.
Yes, that's right.
Come on, quit showing off.
Shut up.
He shoved me, Miss Gray.
Don't shove him.
Get him away from me. I don't like it being near me.
Don't call me an it.
Get out of here.
Don't shove him, Ward.
My name's Wade.
Wade?
You done?
Oh, I'm sorry, Phil. I was trying to...
Thank you very much, Ward. Ward Nuxley. I thought it was Wade. No, I just said it's Ward. God.
No, you didn't, man.
And by the way, with all due respect, Ward or Wade, don't shove Bud. Well, I don't like he comes in here. I understand. Bud gets pushy.
Well, he was doing it wrong.
That's not for you to decide. I decide. Me, I, Phil Henry, I decide. You don't. You understand?
You're going to belch.
I know I'm going to belch, but I'm not belching. God, I hate you.
Anyway, welcome, ladies and gentlemen. We're back from FLA. As Phil likes to call it, General.
Yes, we are. We're back from Florida, where Mr. Henry was there with his young lady, Jackie, as she is preparing, yet, you know, continues to prepare to...
Well, Jackie's packing the house, man.
She's packing the house. And when we say packing the house, we don't mean she's on stage belly dancing.
Yeah. All right.
Okay, that's very funny.
Well, you know...
Well, you said it, Phil. You set it up.
I did. She's packing the house as in...
Yes, we know. She's putting stuff in boxes.
Right. She's got a big job. This kid's all by herself packing that house, going to sell that house, and I can't because...
Because you're here. But when you're there, why don't you help her?
I do. Don't start with me, Margaret.
Well, Phil, you know, you lay around all day long belching and eating.
No, I do not, man. I do what... You know, I can't... You know, there's some people that are best left to their own devices. If Jackie needs my help, she'll tell me. But one thing she doesn't like are people meddling and just everybody coming and suggesting shit. She's not one of those people that handles that very well. And I don't blame her because I don't handle it very well either.
But isn't there something you can do behind the scenes?
Yeah, something behind that she doesn't know you're doing.
Yeah, if I do that, I'll wind up taking a salad fork in the thorax. You can believe that.
All right, yeah.
What are you applauding that for, man?
What? Why are you applauding that, Bud?
I don't know. It sounded like one of those exclamatory moments.
Oh, get a load of you with the big word.
Yeah? Do you know what it means?
No.
It means...
All right. Thank you very much for the lesson in... what does that mean?
It means a moment of emphasis, okay?
Are you trying...
I just answered a question. You get it?
What a dick.
All right. Well, he did answer the question for you, General.
Thank you, Bud, very much for that. Welcome to our program here. Yeah, we're back here from Florida. Spent a week and a few days. And I had a wild scene, man. It was wild, baby. As I was pulling into LAX on my way to Florida, they're doing construction there, right?
Now, you're going to tell us something that's a week old?
That's exactly what I'm going to do.
All right, sir.
Jesus, I didn't get a chance to tell this story. So... I'm pulling into LA. What can, you know, I'd like to just kind of sit back and maybe, you know, tell my thing.
Well, who's stopping you, Phil?
Yeah, who's stopping you?
I don't know. I mean, you know, every time I try to get into some stuff, talk about me, you cats are there waiting to leap on anything I say. Say it's irrelevant and bullcrap, and you want to get into some other screwball crap that generally takes us into God knows, like this whole thing with Wade or War.
Wade Nuxley.
Ward Nuxley is what? What's your name, man?
I told you, my name's Ward.
No, you didn't. You said it was Wade.
You said it was Ward.
No, I didn't. I said it was... Yeah, I did.
Where did we hire him?
I hired him because we needed an announcer because I was sick and tired of this bullshit. Excuse my French.
Oh, I see. So we're bullshit now.
No, I was just tired of listening to this
way that we rolled the show out. I'm Margaret Gray, and you guys are getting into arguments. Let me get to what it was I was going to talk about, okay?
Yeah, Mr. Henry's going to talk about something that's over a week old. Yeah. What?
See this fist?
Oh, my God, yeah.
I'm going to drive it just like it's a runaway motorcycle right through your nose.
Oh, my God.
God damn it, Mr. Henry.
Oh, take it easy. Well, God, Phil, you threatened the boy. Threaten the boy.
Well, what do you call saying, see this fist, I'm going to drive it right through your nose, as if...
Nice going, Lips.
You call me Lips one more time, old man, and I swear to God, they won't find any part of you, and it'll take years.
If they're not going to find any part of me, how do you know it'll take years?
Because it would take years for them to finally decide to give up because they haven't found any part of you. Make sense?
Does to me.
Yeah, it does.
Okay.
Thank you.
So there I was, pulling into LAX. This was on the 24th. I got a plane that I got to catch. And I'm always 2 hours early when I go to the airport. I'm 2 hours early when I go to the airport because I don't like being late for diddly squat. And I don't like running for airplanes. I like to relax. I like to get to the gate. I like to see where the goddamn gate is. I like to see the lay of the land.
Bill, do you have to blaspheme?
Yes, I do. Yeah, I do. Mm. Then I like to go over to Coffee Bean and Tea Leaf and get myself a coffee. Then I like to sit down and turn on the phone and maybe talk to Jackie, call her up, say, hey, I'm on my way, baby. What do you want me to pick you? You know what? Like this last trip. You want me to pick you? What? Would you just let me finish?
Sorry.
This last trip at LAX, right near the gate that you get the plane that takes you to Fort Lauderdale, Florida, which is in the airplane that is parked at the L.A. God damn it.
Yeah, see, you're losing track, Mr. Henry. You're letting us bother you.
You're very mindful of us sitting here.
Yes, I am. When you go to the airport where the plane is.
Which plane?
The plane you get on to take you. The plane you get on to take you to Fort Lauderdale, Florida, which is the airplane that's parked at the L.A. airport.
Okay.
Yeah. When you go to the place to get on that plane.
Yeah, but there's a whole airport.
The place that takes, where the airplane is that takes you to Fort Lauderdale.
Right
in front of that place.
They call it a gate.
The gate, thank you.
Right.
Is the See's candy stand. There's a candy stand there with boxes of See's candy. So I bought Jackie a box of See's candy there.
All right, yeah. All right.
What?
Nothing. So anyway, but here's the whole thing. As I got into LAX that day, and I usually park at Terminal 5 parking. Oh, guess what? The lot's closed.
Not this again.
Oh, yeah. Then I went around to Terminal 6 parking, which is a little more inconvenient, but I know how to park there and get out of there. And nope, that was closed too. Construction. Then I went down to Terminal 7, and that was the end of the line there, man. No parking at Terminal 7. Now, I decided rather than keep going around in circles, I would head on over to the Hyatt Regency, which is down Century. I pull in there. I parked there once long term. You guys got any parking? No, sir. We are full up. So now my ass is in a sling.
But you had 2 hours, Phil.
Right, but I don't know much about the long-term parking at LAX because I don't. I mean, I usually park there short-term. Or I don't park there short-term. I usually am Ubering there or I'm taking a car, some jazz like that. Ever since I've been going to Florida, man, I've been parking my own ass at that airport. And it is generally I'm the short-term parking. I'm there for a week. It's expensive as hell. So I found this one place that was a privately owned lot off LAX, not LAX long-term parking. And it was behind that Jack in the Box there.
You mean the In-N-Out Burger?
Right, behind the In-N-Out Burger. So I parked there. And I shouldn't say it's convenient, but it's pretty close. And they had plenty of parking. And they had the shuttle vans. And it was all very groovy. Well, by the time I got back from Florida and I got my car out of there today, it was $360.
You said it would be a lot cheaper if you parked long-term. I didn't have any idea that the long-term... Like I said, it's been a long time since I've even parked at long-term lots. I used to do long-term parking at Burbank.
But when I was going to LAX, I was either taking an Uber or a car or a shuttle or some jazz like that if I'm leaving town for a week or longer. It's been within the last year and a half since I've been going to Florida to see Jackie that I just drive my own ass to the airport, park there, you know, and I spend like $4 on parking, which, okay, that's dumb. But I know what I'm getting into. This was a long-term lot off the LAX main lot,
What are you trying to say?
What am I trying to say? I'm saying it was a lot that was a privately owned lot, and I should have known better. It cost me $360.
So, in other words, it wasn't any cheap. You should have parked at LAX.
He couldn't park at LAX because there was no parking, right?
No, there was no parking. So, I say that only to say that every bloody trip to Los Angeles International Airport now for me is a damn adventure, man, ever since they started doing this construction. I don't know when this is going to be over in the spring, but I think you guys remember back in March, I did this whole thing on Facebook. I described in great detail that I went all the way, you know, had to go from P6 all the way to the terminal, and I get to the terminal, and I remember that I forgot my phone in my car, and I had to turn and go back and get my phone out of the car, and I'm parked, a mile away on the other side of the damn airport. So I don't know what it is, but I don't handle traveling all that well these days.
Well, Art Griego is in studio with us today, as you know, Phil. He was a commercial pilot, and now is in semi-retirement. But Art, you are still flying privately.
Yeah, I fly privately. I do a little bit of freight hauling. We do some freight flying.
What do you call it, freight flying? What does that mean?
It means I fly freight.
God damn. You don't know what that means?
Hey, you know, Art, it's great to see you. I got to take his lip, not yours.
In other words, I fly inanimate objects.
Okay. I thought maybe you flew someone's fat wife.
Tee-hee-hee. Lee-hee-hee. Shut up.
But anyway, yeah, I do a variety of different jobs. They're all private jobs. And I keep busy.
All right, it's good to see you. And you've been listening to me going on and caterwauling here about flying. But really, what I'm just talking about, the airport experience.
Well, look, Phil, we recognize that people, when they get... When I was flying as a commercial pilot...
What airlines did you fly?
I flew for Jacobi. I flew Air Tonsil, which was kind of a fun airline.
What do you mean Air Tonsil? What is that?
It was an airline? You've heard of those.
I've never heard of Air Tonsil.
It was a tourista airline that flew out to Hawaii. We did a lot of runs to Mexico. It was a lot of fun.
All right.
And then, of course, I flew for Mobia.
Okay, so Mobia was that was another airline that specialized in Mexico runs and Jamaica and...
it was a party, not a party airline, but it was an airline that specialized in vacationers and that kind of thing. Yeah, we had a Hawaii route as well.
So...
My point being... that we were well aware of the fact that people were getting on the aircraft who just had perhaps a very stressful morning or a stressful afternoon, getting packed and getting out to the airport. We knew that there was a lot of people probably in bad moods. And so that's why you hear, when you hear the pilot come on, he will sound as happy as he can sound. He will sound as friendly as he can sound.
You try to put people in good mood?
Yeah, you're trying to put people in. You're trying to let people know, hey, welcome aboard, folks. Time to relax. It's very difficult for the average pilot because flying is a very serious business. You are intent on making sure you get that aircraft from point A to point B safely. You have a lot of souls that you are responsible for.
Now, that's what pilots and captains call their passengers, souls.
I don't know about... You mean the ship captains?
Yeah, don't these... All of you, whether you're a pilot or ship captain, refer to, we have 20 souls on board. That kind of thing?
I know in the airline business, I don't know. I didn't know it was the case on board ships.
They might use something similar on ships. But you use that term, right?
Yeah, we use that term. And the reason why we use that term is because, it, with all due respect, I'm not trying to upset anybody, but we know that you are nothing more than a soul. When you're with us, you are that close.
What, that close to dying?
Well, it's not like we expect to die, no. But... that's really what you are. You're a soul. You're not even... We have to think of you as someone who is spirit, more spirit than body, because you're that close to eternity when you set foot on an aircraft, because we are flying that. We imagine that. We're taking God knows how many tons of metal.
You know, I've heard you talking about this before, like this, Art.
Yeah, you talk about, like... you're going to crash and everything.
No, I'm not. No, I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying you're taking thousands of pounds of metal into the air. And if you don't think that does not tense up a pilot to imagine that I'm flying this hunk of metal, I'm getting it up off the earth, I'm flying it, and I have human beings that I'm responsible for. Yes, they're souls. Yes, they're, because you are thinking them. The only way you're going to get them from point A to point B safely, I hate to say this, Phil, is if you have to think of them as if they're dead already.
Oh, my sweet living Christ.
Well, wait a minute. Wait a minute, Art. Is that serious?
That?
Yes.
That, I don't accept that.
Well, Margaret, I know you and I have never seen eye to eye on this, but you have to understand, when we get on the...
You're saying that when you have a plane full of people, you're thinking of them already as half dead. Why?
Yeah, what? Why is that? Because of the impossibility of the task of flying, of actually levitating thousands of pounds of metal, levitating it up off the ground, and then moving it through space from one place to another. And, oh yeah, by the way, there are people, there are human beings that are sitting inside this aircraft that you're responsible for. And why wouldn't they be? And you think you're going to get them alive to it? But what? Look at this guy. He's laughing.
No, but I mean,
why are you laughing, Phil?
What an absurd thing, man. Why would you think that? Why can't you think in a very relaxed way that, okay, you know.
That's the way we sound, yeah.
I always hear you guys, as you were just saying, Art, I hear you guys get on the PA, hey, ladies and gentlemen, everything's just great.
That's exactly how we're trained to do it, yes. We're trained to be as affable as we can.
And you're saying that underneath all of that, you're scared half to death.
I'm not saying I'm scared. I didn't use that word. I'm just very conscious of what it is I'm doing. And so, why do you think they call them souls? I wasn't the one that invented that. I didn't say, okay, let's refer to passengers as souls. We say that we have 120 souls on board, or we have 30 souls on board. We are referring to them as spiritual entities, because once we are airborne, we're dead. I mean, we're dead. We are dead men and women. We are dead people. We're dead. What the hell, man?
Well, no, Phil. I mean, you're misunderstanding. Why it was so? In other words, you feel that.
I know what it sounds like. I don't mean that I think we're not going to land the plane safely, but between the time you leave, for instance, your flight, Phil, from the time you leave L.A. to the time you get in Fort Lauderdale, you are dead men flying through space. You might as well be spirits. Just, you know, my kid the other day made a joke. He said, Dad, what does it sound like in the plane? A bunch of people going, oh. And I thought, yeah, it's like 120.
Wait a minute. Where are you going?
I'm getting up and walking, because if you guys are going to laugh, I got a lot of other things I can do today, okay? I've got to get the oil changed on my car. Wait, please sit down. But if you wouldn't mind, I'm sorry, Art. We're talking to Art Griego, a commercial pilot. I was relating my experience getting to LAX the other day. And Art is saying, and you are not saying that you feel your flight, that you really think you're going to crash the plane.
No, of course not. I'm saying, realistically, as a pilot, when I flew, yes, as we refer to people, as we refer to passengers on aircraft as souls, we have 120 souls on board. That's how I saw them. So they got on the plane, flesh and blood. And when the plane lifts off, suddenly they're going, oh, they're ghosts.
His voice just cracked like, you know.
Hey, look at Art. I'm just trying to figure this out.
You're saying they're ghosts, but they're not dead or anything.
I'm saying that I see them from the time we lift off to the time we land as more spirit and more just sort of flying through the air.
As if they're wearing a sheet.
Well, yes, there's a sheet flowing off of them going, oh,
that's what you're saying.
See, you're laughing about it. I take it very serious.
Wait a minute. The general's laughing and I'm laughing because it's an absurd thing. That's how you see your passengers.
I don't see them as going, oh, my son did that the other day, and I thought it was moderately amusing. But I do see the passengers now from the time we leave till the time we sit down.
You see them more as spirits rather than flesh and blood.
Yes.
Like, in other words, you could see through them or pass your hand through them.
Yes, as a matter of fact, yes. And when I talk to people, like the passengers in flight, I'll say, hey, how you doing? I'll look at them. And it's almost like I can see through them. Yeah, they're just part. I can see the seat. And
and you can see, like, what their underwear looks like.
Yeah.
Jesus. All right, yeah.
Knock it off, bud.
Gee, I'm sorry, but...
But for you to say that, Ms. Gray...
Well, that's what you're saying.
But yes, I do. I can actually, in my own way, I can see their underwear and...
Girdles and brassieres.
Well, okay. See, they want to joke about it, Phil. We're talking here with... All right.
Well, why wouldn't... Wait.
We're talking here with Art Griego, a retired commercial pilot, about what it is like to be a pilot. And we've had these conversations with you before, Art. We've talked to you about the difficulty of being a pilot. I think on one show you said that you weren't even sure how planes got off the ground.
There's an argument to be made that most pilots can't tell you how it is that they're flying. They're just flying. And I've known some great pilots. I've known guys that I think myself is a pretty good pilot. But if I said to them, hey, Charlie, you know, you're flying this plane, yeah. How is it that this plane's flying? I don't know. All I'm doing is what they taught me to do. I pull the yoke up and I pray to God. I pray to God. Oh, God, do I pray to God.
And you do, too.
What do you mean, you do, too?
Well, you're sitting up there with 120 people that you think of as ghosts that you can see through.
See, Mr. Henry's not taking you seriously, Mr.
Griego.
Mr. Griego.
No, I know he isn't.
Yes, I am, but I you got to admit.
You've got to admit, Art, that when you say you're flying with passengers, you can see through them and see what kind of underwear they're wearing.
You see, Ms. Gray is going, are you really wearing? I can see you contorting your face and holding back the laugh.
No, I'm not holding anything back. I absolutely find you ridiculously funny.
All right, Art Griego, and Art, I respect you as a pilot. I know that you've got a very serious job to do, and you're a dedicated man.
I appreciate that.
Have you considered, at any time did you consider while you were flying, psychological counseling?
Okay, thank you very much, Phil.
Wait, now come on, Art. No, that's
come on, Art, that's a good question.
Thank you very much.
Hey, Artie, are you seriously walking out on me?
Yes, I am. That's the most insulting question I've ever been asked.
Go get him, bud.
Yeah, come on, Mr. Griego. You gotta understand.
No, I will not.
Art Griego is our guest here on The Phil Hendry Show. Let's take a break. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
The world famous Phil Hendry Show, brought to you by Ethel Cleaners. Bring your clothes in, your shirts, your underwear, your socks. They'll clean them, launder them, press them, and make them look as good as new. That's Ethel Cleaners, 6151 East Briverville in Boogie Hills.
Ethel Cleaners, they'll clean your clothes with gasoline. Bring in the special coupon.
Ethel Cleaners, they'll clean what you got or your money or your coupon back.
Welcome back, world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Oh, I'm sorry. Welcome back to the world famous Phil Hendry Show. I'm Wade Knoxley.
Oh, it's Wade now.
I'm sorry. I'm going to start swinging. What'd you say?
Nothing.
Hey, Wade, you don't. I'm the guy that says I'm going to start swinging, not you.
All right. Yeah. No, come on.
No. Forget it. I'm not coming back.
Come on, Art. We're screwing around.
No, you're not. I didn't like. You think I'm nuts? You think I need a doctor?
I just asked you if you're looking through your passengers and they look like ghosts.
I told you that's why.
Cab.
There's no taxis that roll by here, man. This is the El Pacific. This is a beach town, okay? There's no cabs just rolling down the street around here.
Why not?
You gotta call a cab.
All right, call me a cab.
You're a cab.
That's an old Laurel and Hardy joke, and there's Phil laughing at it.
So, Art Griego walked out on us when General Shaw asked, had you considered seeing a psychiatrist?
I just want to say, that's the most insulting goddamn...
Well, why don't you stay here and talk?
No, I'm not. Goodbye. Call me a cab.
You're a cab.
I said...
Don't push that kid.
Be a smartass.
Bud, it's...
Well...
Okay, thanks very much, Art Griego. It's really great to be home. It's great to be back in L.A. Shit.
The world-famous Phil Hendry Show, executive produced by Phil Hendry for Siempre Incorporated. All rights reserved on Podcast One. What a pussy.
Who, me?
No.
Call me a cab.
You're a cab.
Is this the cab company? Yeah. Art Griego? Art Griego. Art Grier. Yeah. You got a cab? Really? Is she taking ballet?
Give me the phone.
Yeah, we're calling for a cab for... Who's this? Art, are you home already?
Nothing else to dream.